The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Marco Marquez, now joined by Buster Olney from ESPN. Good morning, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm turning my bracket. Steven, the fact that you're so high on Mizzou absolutely hung with me as I filled out my bracket. I got him going to the final eight.
Let's go!
Your hopeful work last week.
I'm mad that Vanderbilt didn't make it. Vanderbilt got screwed, Buster.
Well, yes and no. Like, after they beat Kentucky on Friday, I was like, yeah, Vanderbilt deserves to be in there. I tweeted out something. And then they fall behind like 50 to nothing to A&M the next day. And I'm like, yeah, that was not good timing.
Right. Well, I appreciate you picking Mizzou to go far in the bracket. I'm just looking for at least one win, and I'll be happy. But March Madness is here, Buster.
Wait, you're going one win?
Four. Oh, that's fine. I'm just telling you, I just want to make me happy. But I'll be overjoyed if your predictions come true. Okay, so, Buster, we had talked about the WBC in earlier conversations, and I had asked about, you know, teams concerned about how the WBC teams will utilize their pitchers and everything else and worried about their pitchers getting hurt. I did not have any idea that the big injury we'd be talking about would be because of a post-game celebration after a big win. For people that didn't see what happened with Edwin Diaz last night, who just signed that $100 million deal with the New York Mets this offseason, what a disaster. For people that didn't see it, try to explain what happened and what you know right now about Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, so Edwin Diaz is the best relief pitcher in baseball, and it's not even close. He faced 235 batters last year. He struck out almost exactly half of them, 118 out of 235 batters. You know, wins above replacement, which typically if that matters for position players. It mattered for Edwin Diaz last year. 3.0 wins above replacement, by far the best in the major leagues, which is the reason why the Mets, during the course of the winter, made him the highest paid relief pitcher in the history of baseball. Getting a contract. He's the first relief pitcher to get a contract of $100 million. And so, as you guys know, that when the WBC began, there's sort of this uneasy agreement among the player or among teams, like, okay, we'll let our players participate, but they're concerned about the injuries. Well, last night, Edwin Diaz gets the final out of a big win over the Dominican Republic, and so the Puerto Rico players are celebrating, and it wasn't like this wild, crazy celebration at all. It is, you know, a group of players standing and collectively jumping in small, short jumps, and Edwin Diaz collapses on the ground in the midst of all them. And immediately other players in the field are beckoning for an athletic trainer to come out because there's Diaz just crumpled on the ground in pain and with an apparently significant knee injury. You know, they cart him off. The Mets announced late last night, overnight, that he's going to go for examination, evaluation, and then they'll know for sure what happened. But look, if you've seen athletes react to an injury in the past, and then you saw what happened with Diaz last night and the way that he's on the ground, obviously in pain, his brother, who's on the team with him on Team Puerto Rico, is bawling his eyes out, sobbing, because he knows it's a major injury. It's devastating, and it's awful. And a lot of my text messages with folks around baseball, the sporting, were just like, that is just brutal. And I think for, you know, for the WBC as a tournament, it's a worst-case scenario that a significant player is hurt. No one's, I think, going to blame the WBC for this, but we know this. The teams are going to remember going forward what happened in this moment, and now the Mets are staring at a future in which they probably are not going to have Edwin Diaz finishing games for them, and they're scrambling to you know, rebuild the bullpen as of this morning.
And that's the thing. It's like it was a freak accident. You know, it wasn't because he was overused or used the wrong way or anything else.
Nope.
It was a freak accident that could have happened anytime, anywhere. And then the WBC is gonna have to wear that, and that could have some type of impact moving forward, like you said.
Well, and of course the player I immediately thought of, and I'm sure you did too,
Kendrys Morales.
That's exactly right. Like Kendrys Morales comes back, you know, hits a game-winning grand slam, goes, you know, jumps into the pile into a group of teammates with his standing, jumps on home plate and collapses on the ground because he blew out his knee. You know, it altered the trajectory of his career. It probably is the reason why he wound up in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had been this star player with the Angels, and now. In talking with folks around baseball this morning, boy, this is just something that, teams understand that injuries can happen anywhere. Edwin Diaz could have suffered that injury, you know, sliding down the steps at his spring training home, but teams just want to have eyes on players. They want players, you know, their biggest investments to be under their control, and if the player, you know, is hurt at their clubhouse or in one of their exhibition games, they're going to say that feels one way. To see a player participating in a tournament that has, it's not something that affects their season at all in terms of wins and losses, I just wonder what it's going to do here as we go forward.
Nate Buchady, you're on with Buster Olney.
Hey, Buster. Hearing you say that makes me sad because – I feel like, and maybe it's hard to get to convince somebody to see a bigger picture than their own team, but the irony of this to me is this happens on a night when there were like these heroic moments from Major League Baseball stars for their countries. Mike Trout was incredible yesterday in a win, and we always talk about how Mike Trout's not as big of a star as he should be. He's the best player on the planet, at least he has been for much of his career, and yet he doesn't seem like he's as big of a star as the best player in the NBA or the best player in the NFL. And he goes out and does something to me that was like, this gets you excited about what the World Baseball Classic is. Francisco Lindor hits an inside the park home run in that game, which was this incredible moment. And I feel like there's this momentum gathering, and the whole point of why baseball would want this event to happen is to expand the game and make it more popular and make more people interested in these heroes and these stars. And on the night when that was really happening, this thing could take a lot of momentum away from it. And I don't know what I guess I'd like to get your perspective on how big those moments are, and do people in baseball see the potential positive overall for the game to have an event like this mean what it seems to mean to these players right now?
I think that a lot of people in the game reflect the perspective or feel the same way that you do, that, you know, the potential good for this event. And I'm going to tell you, when the WBC started, I was so skeptical, and I was especially skeptical because I just thought, you know what, teams who are paying the salaries of these players, the Royals, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, they're going to not feel great about this because, you know, what happens on the field in terms of injuries in the WBC potentially has huge impact, could have huge impact on a team, you know, after they spend the whole winter trying to, you know, to build a team, design a team for success. But then you see last week to watch Shohei Ohtani and to see what he's doing on the field and the excitement level, that he's generating going into the season, the momentum that he's building going into a season, you know, to see Mike Trout, as you said, to see Lindor, you know, going full out last night, circling the bases, on a Little League home run in that game against Dominican Republic. That juices the sport. But, I mean, let's face it, if you're Buck Showalter, if you're Steve Cohen, if you're Billy Epler, who are in the hierarchy of the Mets, your feeling is it's not our job to feed a celebration of baseball that the WBC should be. It's our job to win a championship for the Mets, and that's why in a lot of cases, you know, for example, I've heard stories about teams that, you know, where the permission was requested for one of their coaches to be on these WBC, to be a manager at the WBC, and the answer was no, we got to get ready for our season. And I do think it's going to feed a reflex, you know, in a culture among the teams, like, no, we don't want these players to be out of our sight. And you kind of can understand both perspectives, quite frankly. You know, imagine if Vinny Pascantino was the best first baseman in baseball right now, and the Royals, who operated with a smaller margin for error, as they go about the business of trying to win a World Series, and the Royals, and this is just, you know, me, you know, just riffing. Imagine if the Royals felt like, boy, we want this guy around, we need him around, and they kind of discouraged the idea behind the scenes. Vinny, we need you at the camp. I could totally understand both perspectives. And that's why I think they're probably going to be clashing thoughts as we move forward with this tournament, where teams are going to feel like, look what happened with Edwin Diaz. And when you get a moment that everybody remembers, like Buster Posey having his ankle crushed as the best catcher in baseball changed rules. You know, Chase Utley, you know, sliding into second base and breaking the leg of an opponent in a postseason game, that changed baseball rules. That's when I saw what happened last night. I thought, oh, boy, this will be something that will be talked about going forward in front offices in terms of the risk the WBC presents.
Buster Olney is our guest, and they tried. They covered up what was it overshadowed what was a very emotional win for Puerto Rico over that. I mean, that's – I mean, look at all the talent on the Dominican Republic, and they don't even advance to the quarterfinals. That's got to be, I mean, super disappointing for a team with of that talent level not to advance. So now it's going to be USA versus Venezuela, Italy and Japan, and then Puerto Rico advances to take on Mexico. Cuba's already gone to the semifinal. Who's your pick? Who do you think is going to end up winning this whole thing?
I'm going to defer to Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox. I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, and it was getting going. He was talking about his own player, Yoshida, who they just signed during the offseason, gave him over $100 million. And I asked him, you know, how were you going to put him in the lineup this spring? What are you looking for from him in this spring training? And he just looked at me and goes, he's not going to be around here very much. But Japan, he thinks Japan has a chance to win the whole thing. I think he's right. Otani looks like right now, looks like the kid who's 12 years old who hit puberty 4 years before anybody else, any of his peers. He looks bigger, stronger, faster than anybody. 2 years ago, he won the American League MVP award. Last year, he had an amazing progression as a pitcher, and yet somehow watching him this spring, and I've talked to major league players about this, it's like you watch Otani now, like, oh, my God, he's getting better. He's like the college freshman who grew 4 inches during the offseason, watching him run around this spring. So I'm picking Japan based on the strength of Otani. And it is cool to see that progression. And Nate, you were mentioning Mike Trout, you know, who doesn't get as much attention as he should because the Angels haven't been very good. And it's clear from his performances in the All-Star games in the past, like, he loves the big stage. And Otani loves the big stage. How in the world is it they haven't played a playoff game?
Amazing, Buster. Hey, and this is a crazy set of circumstances, but I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale on Saturday afternoon doing a soccer game, and I got a couple buddies who like to take a big baseball trip every year, and they found out I was going to be there and said, hey, by the way, we've got an extra ticket to the World Baseball Classic on Saturday if you want to go. So I'm going to – and you know, we didn't know what the matchup was going to be until last night got sorted out. USA versus Venezuela in Miami, and I'm going to go. And I can't wait. I think this is going to be incredible. And we get to see Salvi Perez, and I'm looking at that Venezuela lineup, Jose Altuve, Gleyber Torres, Salvador Perez, Ronald Acuna Jr. How would you handicap that game? I mean, that looks like an incredible matchup.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, it really – and I have not looked at specifically at the pitching – and who's going to be available to each team and how that's going to be arranged. Because as you guys know, game by game, the WBC managers are at the mercy to some degree of the major league teams who will say, we don't want this guy pitching. We want that guy limited to one inning. So I don't know what the pitching matchups are going to be. But it's part of the fun of this, and it's part of the reason why I think, especially this spring, I've seen more player investment in this thing than I've ever seen, especially the beginning of it. It felt like Team USA wasn't really that involved, that the players are sort of saying somewhat with empty feeling of, boy, this is really meaningful. And then you get in the tournament and you could see it meant more to Team Canada or the team from Puerto Rico. Well, the U.S. team this year is absolutely invested, and I don't think there's any question about it. And I think your old friend Mike Swanson will back me up on this. The reason why it's meaningful is because the best player, Mike Trout, made it a personal goal of his to turn this into something important. And he reached out to other players, and he's like, hey, let's do this. And when you get the best player, maybe arguably the best player of all time, having that sort of personal investment, it changes something. And all of a sudden, you're looking at the U.S. team, that lineup that they're running out there, top to bottom. That's a great lineup. The folks that I've spoken with other teams about this, really, they do feel like that the most talented group right now is the team from Venezuela, which is saying something when you look at that lineup from Japan, when you look at the lineup from Team U.S., and all those great players in Puerto Rico. So I'm jealous. You're going to have a great time on Saturday.
Buster Olney has been our guest. Buster, before we let you go, you said that you've got Mizzou advancing to the Elite Eight. Do you remember who you picked in the Final Four in your bracket?
Oh, gosh, now you're going to kill me. I got Xavier as one of my teams.
Okay.
All right. I'm trying to remember. I think I've got Virginia going really deep. But I can't remember my Final Four. Oh, I've got Alabama going in. Yeah. I've got here's what drove my bracket. I went to Vanderbilt, and so I'm picking SEC teams.
Right.
I'm going SEC teams going deep.
I've got Alabama winning it all, so that's not too far off. I like it. Hey, Buster, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
That's Buster Olney, a little bit of baseball in there for you. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will start our Border Patrol bracketology and go through the first half of today's games, and then we'll finish it off at 9:30. In between that, we'll talk to Gary Lezak, Gary Dieter, Anthony Sherman, John Sundbold is going to be on the show. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Christmas morning for college basketball fans. The NCAA tournament is here. It's Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. And it's time for Border Patrol Bracketology. All right. It just hits different when you got Kansas State, and Mizzou all in this thing. You got 16 games today, so we'll do 8 now, and then 8 at around 9:30 or so after we talked to John Sunville. John Sunville, I could invite him to be part of Border Patrol Bracketology, but he would politely decline, and rightly so. I don't blame him. Here we go. Game number one at 11:15 a.m. on CBS. It's the 8-9 matchup in the South region. Maryland and West Virginia. This game is being played in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll let Marco go first. Do you have the 8-seed Maryland or the 9-seed West? You keep playing that music. It just that's going to be a nice soft bed for us to lie on the entire segment. We never get rid of the wonderful. Just hit replay. Now, I will tell you that the line is West Virginia favored by 2.5.
Yeah. So we're doing just money line straight up.
To pick the game. They're picking the game of basketball.
For the record, though, if it's an upset special, we're going by seeding. So if if we pick West Virginia, that's an upset special.
Right. Seeding is what we go by for upset special.
Well, then.
What do you got?
I'm taking the Mountaineers.
You got to wait. There's got to be a consensus.
This is a democracy?
You could say West Virginia and me and Nate could say Maryland, and then it's not an upset special.
Oh, okay.
Just like somehow you forced Miami to be our upset pick in the what did you pick them to be?
The 5-seed.
To be
lose to Drake.
Okay, all right, fine. Well, you know, I'm rooting for Drake. Go Drake. I hope that happens. All right. So you're picking West Virginia?
Yep.
I am not picking West Virginia. I'm picking Bob Huggins because I want him in the tournament. So I'm also picking the 9-seed West Virginia. It doesn't matter, Nate, but who are you picking?
No, I'm taking West Virginia as well. I don't want Bob Huggins on my ass.
There it is. The 9-seed wins. They advance. It's an upset special.
Upset special. Upset special.
Oh, my word.
So stupid. All right. Next up.
Never gets old.
Next up, it's the 13-4 matchup in the South region. 11:40 a.m. on True TV. Nate, what's your favorite TV show on True TV besides the NCAA tournament?
Is Impractical Jokers on True TV?
I don't know.
If it is, that's my favorite one. That's the only one I know, and I like that show.
Is it, Marco?
It in quite a while.
Oh, yeah, and Practical Jokers.
Is it on True TV?
Yep, just believe it.
Boom.
It's only true if Nate says so.
Right. Number 13, Furman. Number 4, Virginia. Virginia is favored by 6 down in Orlando in the South region. Nate Bucati.
You guys won't believe this, but I have Furman winning and advancing to the second round over Virginia.
Well, I've got Virginia in my bracket. Marco, it's up to you.
Sorry, Nate. Okay. Give me UVA.
You guys are boring.
UVA to advance in that matchup. On to the next matchup. At 12:40 p.m. on TNT, the 10-7 matchup in the South region. At the Golden One Center in Sacramento, number 10, Utah State versus number 7, Missouri. You heard Buster Olney from ESPN tell us that somehow he has Missouri advancing to the Elite Eight in his bracket because of my influence, my heavy influence. So thank you, Buster. I will not tell you. Well, I think I got him. I will say this, Selena filled out her bracket for our St. John Family Bracket Contest at 810WHB.com. And if you'd like to be involved in a bracket contest, go to 810WHB.com, and we've got everything there for you. You can win a brand new grill from Smoke and Fire. You can create a private group or a public group like I have with my family, and I'm going to call Richie at 10 o'clock and yell at him because I told him to fill out his bracket last night, and he said he couldn't because he was making Korean beef bowls.
Oh. That sounds delicious.
That's what I have to go through now.
Sons of
you know, he doesn't live at home, so he has his own place. I'm like, well, how can we even fill out the booze? Well, I'm making Korean beef bowls right now, and then we're getting ready to watch. So I don't know. You fill out your bracket for your father, will you please? All right? But if you out there, if you want to fill out your bracket, go to 810WHB.com. You can win a grill from Smoke and Fire, Hy-Vee gift cards, and more. It's so easy at 810WHB.com to fill out your bracket. And you still got a few hours left. So go to 810WHB.com. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and Hy-Vee. Back to what we're doing. The 10-7 matchup. So what I was going to tell you was Selena filled out her bracket, and she has she had Purdue, Mizzou, and Kansas all in the Final Four. Unbelievable. Can't remember the fourth team. Who was the fourth team she had? I don't know. But then, and then she had Kansas going to the championship game and Mizzou losing to Purdue in the semifinal. What the hell's going on here?
Oh, wow. She's, I just that'd be something.
Yeah, wouldn't it? I'd just be happy with the Final Four. Anyway, the 10-7 matchup. Utah State favored by a point. The over-under is 155.5. I'm taking Mizzou to win. Kobe Brown has been waiting patiently to play in this NCAA tournament. You've got, as Dennis Gates says, pretty good for a bunch of mid-majors. You've had great performances all season long from guys like DeMoy Hodge, Nick Honor, who's made big shots. I like the way Noah Carter's playing right now. But I'm going to pick Missouri, not because I'm a homer. I am. But I believe in Dennis Gates. I believe that Mizzou is in a home run with this coaching hire. And I think he's got a hell of a staff featuring C.Y. Young and Dickie Nutt.
Yes, sir.
Dickie Nutt is a tremendous basketball mind. Did you see his brother Houston Nutt was at the SEC tournament supporting his brother Dickie Nutt? The Nutt family is very close. Very tight.
Yeah, those guys are all nuts.
They literally are. I mean, it's the Nutt, that's their names, Nate.
That's why I said it.
Mizzou advances. They defeat Utah State despite Utah State being described as the greatest three-point shooting team in the history of collegiate basketball by certain Mountain West assistant coaches that were interviewed by Dave Matter. Marco Marquez, who do you pick?
M-I-Z, because I am a homer.
Do you have any rationale? You want to say anything? I mean, any context with that? Or do you just want to say, you know?
I told you earlier. I think
well,
that.
Well, I forgot.
I think that if Utah State lives and dives by the three,
DeMoy Hodge!
Then I see that
they're
going to
die
though.
By the three, is
they're,
what you're saying.
They're going to die by the three. They're going to have to lay on their own sword.
Maybe Mizzou is red hot from three.
Maybe DeMoy Hodge
goes for 28.
And when they're not, they can adjust and they can get something going inside. This is in Alabama that they're playing, so give me Missouri.
You sure?
No, it's the Golden State Warriors, okay. Duh.
Nate Buchanan, I'm the Utah State fan.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going with Vegas here. You know, how would I pick against the greatest three-point shooting team since the advent of the three-point arc?
I don't know.
In 1987 or whenever it was, I got Utah State.
Doesn't matter. Your vote doesn't count. Mizzou advances in the Border Patrol bracket that hopefully someone's keeping track of. All right, up next, the 16-1 matchup in the West, Des Moines, Iowa, Wells Fargo Arena. We've heard the tales of Greg Gurley eating Crab Rangoon pizza two nights ago. And then going out and looking for some red meat last night. This guy knows how to live it up in Des Moines, Iowa. Kansas favored by 22 points. Nate Buchady, Kansas versus Howard.
I'm going out on a limb here. I'm taking the Jayhawks in this one.
Marco.
I'm going to be bold with Nate.
Yep.
Go with KU.
Right, let's have some fun here. Do they cover?
No, I don't think so.
Nate, do they cover?
Yes.
I think they cover. Kansas over Howard. Kansas advances, and so no upset there. Let's move on. Oh, Jesus. Why do we have to do back-to-back 16-1 matchups? Here is another 16-1 matchup of no interest to me. Texas A&M Corpus Christi against number one Alabama. Alabama is favored by 24. Alabama is the number one overall seed. Much to my chagrin, I picked Alabama to win the national championship in my bracket, which I immediately declared stupid as soon as I filled it out. My bracket sucks. That was terrible. It's going to be ripped apart by Friday afternoon. Marco, just say it.
Bama.
How far do you have Alabama
and
going?
And they cover. National title, but not winning.
You got beating them.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
When am I ever going to find out?
when we're doing this right here.
We only do it in the first round.
Oh, Gonzaga.
Really? Oh, I like that. Oh, that's... is that the other team that she had? I don't know.
Selena?
Maybe. She's a big Zags fan, I guess.
No, they're in KU's region, so...
Okay. No, that's right. So you got Alabama, I got Alabama, Nate's got Alabama. No reason to spend any more time on that one.
They do cover also.
The 12-5 matchup. Charleston and San Diego State. This is the South region. Down in Orlando. Charleston with the gaudy 31-3 record going up against San Diego State. San Diego State favored by 5 points. We'll start with Marco. Who do you have in this 12-5 matchup? Charleston or San Diego State?
Give me Charleston. Been one of my favorite teams to bet on this year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I would take a money line and points.
All right. So Marco says money line and points for the 12 seed Charleston to beat San Diego State. Nate Bucati.
I've got San Diego State in honor of Ron Burgundy.
You got me rethinking this thing now. I don't like my bracket because I didn't pick enough upsets, and this is one of the games that I was on the fence on, and I went with San Diego State.
No, don't go with
change your mind.
Charleston's.
You can change your mind.
Got him beat statistically.
Give me a minute here. Talk amongst yourselves. I got to look at something.
What statistics are you talking about, Marco?
Points per game and opponent's points per game.
Oh, wow. Very advanced.
The metrics.
This man is in.
They beat Virginia Tech. They beat Kent State.
Points per game.
No, don't let the BPI rank fool you now. Because both of these teams haven't beaten the top 25 team this year. So, I think I lean more towards the underdog in this situation where the higher seed, you know, hasn't won big games at all this year.
Okay, so San Diego State, let's see, they beat BYU, they won at Stanford, they beat Ohio State. They lost to Arizona by 17, they lost to Arkansas by 4. They lost to St. Mary's by 7. They beat Kennesaw. Beat the hell out of Kennesaw State. Beat Nevada.
I'm not even going to tell you where the two rank in KenPom.
They just beat Utah State by 5. I don't know how they stopped that all-star team. They beat Utah State twice. Where does KenPom have them?
15th in the country.
Who?
San Diego State.
What about Charleston?
73rd.
I don't feel strongly about it. I can't do it. I gotta go San Diego State.
Can't do it.
Okay. I'm not here to appease you with your upsets. I'm here to try to make the right picks.
No, you use logistics. It's all right. I use numbers.
I can't believe you're ignoring Marco's advanced metrics.
Look at the scores. I tried to. I was just looking for something from their non-con or anything that made me feel better about something. No. Can't do it. Let's move on now. Boy, oh boy, if Mizzou can somehow beat Utah State, I'll be rooting like hell for the 15 seed Princeton in the South region in Sacramento as they take on the 2 seed Arizona. Arizona favored by 2 touchdowns, 14 points. 15 versus 2. Arizona is the 2. I will root for Princeton, but Arizona will win. Nate Bucati.
Yeah, I've got Arizona going all the way to the Elite Eight, so they're going to win.
Marco?
Yeah, Arizona, but then they lose on Saturday in the round of 32.
To who?
Missouri. Mizzou. I'll let my heart impact that part.
Okay, now I know what we're dealing with here. All right. Good morning to you. Good morning to this. There we go. Now, this will be the last game that we do in this segment. We'll do 8 in this segment and then 8 at 9:30. And this, to me, is the game of the day. So we can spend a little extra time here. This is the game of the day, which means it'll probably be a stupid blowout and some other game will be better. But on paper, the 9-seed Illinois and the 8-seed Arkansas in the West region in Des Moines. Oh, this is going to be a hell of a game. Arkansas is favored by 2. The over-under is 144.5. Nick Smith back with Arkansas, so that makes him a different team. I saw Mizzou split with Arkansas, and Mizzou beat the living hell out of Illinois. Arkansas, after losing to Texas A&M in the SEC tournament, Eric Musselman was screaming profanities while a reporter was recording him with their phone, and then a member of the Arkansas staff then slapped the phone, according to their AD, inadvertently slapped the phone out of the reporter's hand. And so Arkansas, very emotional right now. And the other reason why this is so intriguing, the winner of this game will take on Kansas in the second round, which, either way, look, if it's Kansas, Illinois, you got Brad Underwood, Bill Self coaching matchup, Self against Illinois, all that good stuff. But then if it's Arkansas, you will have you had a chance to root for Kansas against an Eric Musselman coach team, Nate? Has that happened?
I don't believe so. I don't remember.
Let me tell
Kansas
you something.
Playing Arkansas,
that is an experience, because that's one of those guys where if he's your guy and if he's your coach, you love him. If you're just watching a game where you're not rooting for anybody, like, oh man, this guy does all kinds of crazy stuff on the sideline or on the coach's bench. Oh, this guy takes his shirt off. This guy's screaming at people, the refs, cuss. This is fun to watch. Then when it's your team in an important game playing against him, you despise him with every fiber of your being. Let me tell you, I'm curious to see how that works out, that experience. And that's what I anticipate.
Yeah.
I believe Arkansas will beat Illinois. And, of course, SEC, it just means more. And so I have Arkansas advancing to take on Kansas. That is not an upset special because they're the 8 seed. But we'll give this one to Marco. Arkansas or Illinois, who wins this game, Marco?
And I'm going to dish it right to Nate because I'm taking the Fighting Illini in this game, man.
All right, you're taking the 9 seed.
Give me Illinois.
Split. Any reason why in particular?
When you look at the bigger games against the top 25 this year, they've won the better ones in the competition.
How they do against Missouri, though?
Oh, well, they lost to Missouri back in December. I just know they lost by like 20 points or more. I can't remember the exact score. But they beat UCLA by 9, only lost by 5 at Purdue, beat Texas earlier in the season, Michigan State, another tournament team.
93-71 was the score of the Bragging Rights game.
They definitely covered. So, yeah, give me Illinois in a game that, I guess, would that be the first time KU and Illinois matched up against each other since the national title in the NCAA tournament?
Since the national title.
No, I'm thinking of Syracuse. Wrong orange team.
What the hell
stupid.
Are you talking about?
Sorry, Nate.
I was so confused there for a minute because sometimes I forget.
It was like a different orange team.
When did that happen?
I remember Roy Williams and Kansas playing against Bill Self in Illinois in the tournament back in like 2002. I don't know if they've played against each other since then. I would doubt it.
Why don't you pick this game then?
I'm going Arkansas. My crutch, Ken Palm, has Arkansas number 19 and Illinois number 33. So I think Arkansas. And I've watched both teams. I've watched Musselman as a neutral, as a guy that didn't care who won or lost. And he's wildly entertaining when you don't care. But I'll probably think he's a complete a-hole today. I don't know.
You know what will happen if somehow they beat Kansas? He'll take his shirt off in the locker room. And then we'll see what you think.
Right.
I'm gonna flex on you. All right, so we got Arkansas advancing in the Border Patrol bracket. That's it for Border Patrol bracketology. The first eight games covered so far in on today's schedule. We'll do the second set of eight games coming up at 9:30. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. We're going to talk to Garrett Dieter and Anthony Sherman. John Sundvold will help us preview the Mizzou-Utah State game, and then we'll finish off our Border Patrol bracketology at 9:30. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jay Billis picks UConn to go to the Final Four as Anthony Sherman just walks in. Perfect timing on that right there. As Sherman very excited about UConn's chances of... There it is right there. He has Arizona, Duke, Texas, and UConn. Gary Lezak, who do you have in the Final Four?
All number one seeds. Write this down.
It's ridiculous.
No, it is not. It's gutsy to say all number one seeds are going to go. Who's going with all number one seeds? Who? Tell me who.
You.
Right, exactly. So Alabama, Houston, the University of Kansas Jayhawks, and Purdue.
You're a complete suck-up now.
Purdue against Houston. Missouri will win their first game.
I'll take that.
All right,
I'm
Missouri
in
their winning their first game. All right, Mizzou.
Thank you.
Mizzou has OU in it. MISSOU.
I don't want to hear that.
That was true. When do they play? When does everybody play today?
12:40 p.m. for Mizzou and Utah State. 1 o'clock for Kansas and Howard. K State doesn't play until 8:40 tomorrow night.
Whoa. It's March Madness. It's happening. So, do you have any big upsets at all?
Not really. I'll be upset if you don't give a forecast. How about that? Are you mad about any of the Chiefs leaving yesterday? Four significant players signed with other teams. Were you mad about anyone in particular?
No, because I think that Veach has a plan to replace them with some really solid players, and I'm, you know, when you have Patrick Mahomes, it's like, you know, you need to get him protected. So we'll see a couple offensive linemen coming in or drafted, but I'm not concerned. I mean, Mahomes, we have Patrick Mahomes.
There you go. There's the analysis you pay for.
The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, Gary. Yeah. We don't have anything.
Yeah, we do.
We're Kansas City does.
Hey, Marco, we do too. We do.
Yeah.
You have Patrick Mahomes. Are you a Chiefs fan?
I am a fan of the Chiefs, yes. I don't have Patrick Mahomes, though.
He is on your team. Your team, right?
He's in your town.
He's in your town. He's on your team.
I hope he's not on my team. I don't want to be the one cutting the checks for that contract.
What's the forecast like in our town that we're talking about?
I got the forecast for you.
Yeah, doesn't sound like it.
Do you have Minneapolis is ready?
Yeah, I got Minneapolis is ready. I've got the forecast. There's going to be severe weather to our south, predicted 60 days ago. There was a lot of fallback from yesterday's Daily Beast article.
So are you at odds with the Daily Beast? This thing has gone worldwide. Is this a feud now or what?
I think this. The writer, she was, Maddie is her name, she was fair. I felt very good that when a PhD comes in and goes, the LRC is impossible, I'm like, okay, good, I'm glad you're so close-minded. So, but, you know, there's been a lot of fallback from it, a lot of interesting conversation.
Like what?
Just debate on, you know, they want to know when we fail, okay, when the LRC doesn't work. Okay, so that's fine. I mean, we do talk about it, but who's going to go on Twitter and say, hey, I blew that today. Don't hire us. Yeah. You know, we blew it.
What?
You know? Yeah. Oh, but we do sometimes, you know, we do. But anyway, it's been an interesting day, no doubt about it. So it's all, but I feel good about it. Weather-wise, it's raining right now. Have you looked outside?
Sure.
Rule number one of forecasting the weather, everyone, always look outside because you never know. It's raining, so we know that. There's a storm coming through. There were thunderstorms in Arizona yesterday. That disturbance is coming our way. It's going to be windy. There's a wind advisory in effect for today. So rain likely today, especially this morning. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon as the front approaches. The wind will shift to the north, and the temperature will drop before you come home. If you're going on an 8-hour day and you're leaving right now for work, on your way home, it may be about 36 and falling. And there's a good chance of snowflakes developing, rain and snow showers mixed, maybe changing to all snow with a minor accumulation by 8 o'clock tonight. Right? Rain, snow, and sleet possible between about 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. tonight. And then it will clear out, and we're going to be back into the freezer. 42 tomorrow, 32 at the most on Saturday for a high. And the wind will be gusting the next few days. It's going to be so miserable as spring approaches. Spring begins next week. So it's going to be an interesting warm-up after we get to the first day of spring. But we are in for it today. Any questions? Are you shocked I did the weather?
I'm still, yeah, no, it's, hey, I'm just thankful.
When I do, Nate, when I do the weather, it's like you guys are like, oh, no, what do we want him to do now?
This is what he's talking about. The Daily Beast came after Gary Lee's egg yesterday. Viciously attacking Gary, and so this is what we were referencing.
It is a hit piece, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going to read it?
Probably not.
There you go. There you have it. He's honest.
I enjoy listening to you in the morning, so I'll just roll with whatever you're going to say, and
that's all you
go
need.
From there. I don't really care.
Anthony Sherman doesn't give a damn what the Daily Beast says. He likes listening to you.
But you know what?
That's not Mark Bullrich. That's Anthony Sherman. What the hell is wrong with you?
Wow. Hey, Anthony, this guy's trying to take your side, Gary.
Anthony, it's okay, Anthony. I'm sorry. I have a tremendous respect for you. Okay, I apologize. You know, I'm not the greatest with names. I can't see you.
You must have missed the part where he said Anthony was walking into the studio.
It's all right.
Anthony.
You know, Anthony, you strike me as a farmer's almanac kind of guy. Is that fair?
No. I just roll with, like he said, just look outside and be like, cold, it's raining, you know.
So, as I said, rule number one is always look outside.
Okay.
We can see it's raining. Rule number two is you look at the satellite and radar. We can see rain on radar, so that doubles up. It's going to rain because it's raining and you can see it. Number three, you look at the computer models that are flawed, okay? Then you use the LRC, which is likely the best forecasting tool in our shed, and then you make up your own mind. In my mind, the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years. Anthony, what do you say?
I like it. I like the optimism.
There you go. That's what you do.
Gary, I think you might need to go back to bed. A couple more hours of sleep.
Good night. All right. Going to actually go work out now. Have a good day, guys.
That's Gary Lee's, they kind of all over the place. We'll come back with Garrett Dieter, Anthony Sherman, and no Mark Bullrichter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.